Good evening, good afternoon, good morning. I don't know where you are, but wherever you are in the world, this works for you. And if you're watching at a later time, again, I can say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And you can notice that, of course, Donna is with me. And we have a very special guest sitting next to Donna, a dear friend. And you may be familiar with him. His name is John Jolliffe. Donna's going to be saying more about him in a minute. But, hey, I just want you to know that this is The Call, which is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And we have been doing this for years. If it's the 15th of the month, 6 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to be here. We're going to be live. We've done it all over the world in the strangest places you could ever possibly imagine. But God always provided a way for us to be able to do it, to be here. And we've done it, and we're going to continue to do it as long as we have breath and we have the ability to move forward. So you can see this on Facebook. We have our call-in, and some people call in and do it that way. And you can see it on YouTube later and then on our podcast.
Yeah, so welcome and good evening. And I'm Donna Schuller. That's Robert Schuller. Like you said, this is The Call. This is only a small part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls, you know. We like to reach people where they are, and a lot of people are listening to podcasts these days. So we start out on Facebook Live because people use Facebook as well. And then we're on a live conference call, and then what we do is record that, and we put it on our podcast, which will stay there forever and ever. And, you know, we've had some amazing guests over the last several years, 9 years we've been doing this. And we, you know, same for this evening. So, you know, stay tuned because you're going to get some great information about information overload and all of us.
Wow.
We all have that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really bad, especially today. And so we have an expert here. This man is filled with wisdom. And I have so much respect for you. And we'll be really, well, thank you. And we'll be introducing our friend John in just a few minutes. Remember that we take questions a little bit later. So I didn't ask you about that. I'm assuming.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So if you are on the call, what you're going to do is you're going to push *6 when I tell you, because we're not going to take questions yet. And I have to set up our little monitor here when we do take questions. And, you know, we'll be happy to answer your questions, John or myself or Robert. And we love doing this. We love what we do. And, you know, we always start with a scripture and a prayer. So I'd like to pray.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dear
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us life. We thank you that you've given us minds that are open to possibilities. And I pray, Lord, that the people listening this evening, either live or afterwards on our podcast or afterwards on Facebook, would take something away, something special, something that they can use so that they can call on the wisdom that is found through knowing you, Lord, and they can have brighter, more productive lives. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, our set may look a little different tonight because we're in John's home. Not only did we agree to allow us to interview him and talk with us, but he said, you can just come in my house and sit up. And you're going, well, why did you have to do that? And the reason is because our daughter and her husband and her family moved in with us yesterday,
yes,
last night. Did you know that? They sold their house. And they're planning on going to Hawaii for a month, but they don't leave for a few more days. So they're hanging out at our house for the next few days.
That is two big adults, a 6-year-old, almost 7-year-old boy, a 4-year-old girl, and an 8-month-old baby.
And a dog.
But now we have two dogs, and there's seven of us, and it's just great. It's the house is filled with love and joy. I came home today.
But it means we lost our studio.
Yeah, we lost our studio. We're trying to figure out Sunday morning. We said, you guys either have to be out doing something by 8, or you just have to be upstairs piled on our bed watching TV and shh, quiet. But, you know, that's what life's about. We love our family. We love our grandkids and our kids. And there's nothing like hanging out with them.
So John was gracious enough and said, well, you can just set up in our house. So here we are.
Thank you.
And the gracious or lazy?
I don't know which.
No, I guess this worked for you because you actually, you were working up in Dublin now.
Right.
So you wouldn't have been able to make it over to our house in time.
Well, we would have done it over the phone.
But you know what? It's much more effective doing it in person.
Oh, absolutely.
So much nicer. So I have a scripture to read.
Yes, read
and,
that.
You know, we're going to be
talking.
Well,
I thought you were going to read the scripture and then the prayer, but you're doing the prayer and then the scripture.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Can you do it either way?
Can you do one?
Can I?
Yes, you're allowed to.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, we're allowed to do it anyway.
I have a really one. I'm not going to read an entire chapter. I'm just going to read part of one verse in James. And it's a powerful one. It's James 1:5. And it says, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. And that's found in James.
That's a great verse, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Because we're going to be talking about that.
Great song.
So should we get right into it here?
Well, yeah.
So what do you want to do?
Well, many of you who are watching this or seeing this realize that I entitled this Communication Fatigue? And I think we're in a world where we're just overwhelmed with communications today. When my father and I started the Hour of Power in 1970, there was three stations basically across America that people had a choice to watch, ABC, CBS, or NBC. And unless you lived in the Los Angeles area, the Chicago area, or the New York area, that was about it. And there may have been a few other markets that had an extra station. But for the most part, most of the people in America had three stations they could choose. And it came from the airwaves. They had rabbit ears, or they had an antenna they had to move around, or they moved in the rabbit ears around until they got this signal, this television signal. And that's the way the nation watched us on the Hour of Power. And, boy, the lighting is really funny because because the sun is coming. And I didn't anticipate the sun moving like
it
has. It
moves fast. But you can still see us.
Yeah, you can see us. So I apologize.
It's a beautiful room. We're in a gorgeous room here. It's so
open. I just apologize for the lighting. But anyway, with that being said, I just want you to say that's how – so in 1970 – you would go to your television and you would look at the three stations. And if you're in Los Angeles or New York, you had a lot more. You had five or six stations. And you'd go through the stations. You go, okay, that's it. I don't have anything to watch. Today, it goes on forever. Thousands of stations on cable. Then you have the internet with millions of stations to watch. There's no end to the information that you can have. Information overload to the max. And so we're going to be talking about communication fatigue, and how do you communicate. And so we're going to be talking with a dear friend of mine. We are in Bible study together. We've been doing it for months now. And we meet here in this house.
And don't forget Sunday morning.
And Sunday mornings, of course. And his name is John Jolliffe. You're looking at him. He's the distinguished-looking man to my left, or this thing is all backwards, so it might be my right. I do know the difference from my right and my left. Where I'm sitting, he's to my left.
Facebook does everything.
Yeah, it does. It's mirrors. So everything is mirrored. So he is a private practice in marriage and family therapy for 40 years. He is nationally syndicated daily talk radio host for 15 years. He is executive director of Jim Carrey's International Humanitarian Agricultural Projects for 15 years, co-executive producer of a Netflix animated children's program series called Mac and Moxie, author of a monthly international newsletter, Simple Advice for a Complicated World, and husband of 49 years and a father of two girls.
A proud father.
An amazing father.
Amazing father.
Of two girls and three grandchildren. And how do we know he's amazing? Because we know his daughters and we've met them.
We've met his grandchildren and just a wonderful family. We love you guys. And, you know, we're relatively new friends, but since you've been coming, we started our drive-in church, you know, a year ago, March. And so we've met probably the most special group of people by doing this. Right?
Oh.
We're just, it's very different. But I think because of the way we decided to meet under such adversity when all the other churches were closed down, and we decided to meet in a parking lot in Santa Ana, and then now we're in a beautiful parking lot really close to here in Newport Beach at a resort, but we do meet in a parking lot. People are
These are all the people who said, don't tell me I can't, and don't tell me
no. Exactly.
Exactly. These are the kinds of people we know.
Exactly the kind of people. So we have a very unique group, and we bonded. It's like we have this extended family, and so anyway, it's just an honor to have you here. Really, truly is.
Thank you.
So I read, and Donna and I read your mass communication fatigue syndrome.
Yeah,
I made that diagnosis.
That's amazing.
I was syndicated nationally on radio.
When was this piece written? There's no date.
Well, it was written, I think, in 1990, but it was experienced probably 85 all the way through. I was syndicated nationally, as you read, on the radio for daily for 15 years. And I went through the Oklahoma City bombing,
Explain what you mean by that. You went through.
Well,
there or something.
I was on the radio, and people were calling me, panicking and fearful. And then we went through the Hillside bomber, and we went through the Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Yes, I remember that. That was right around here.
And then we went through the O.J. Simpson. We went through two Gulf Wars. And then we went through, you know, so many things, right? And all of these things were traumatic.
Yeah.
And all of these things were overreported. And so I came up with a diagnosis called mass communication fatigue syndrome, very much like PTSD, but not PTSD in terms of post-traumatic. It was pre-existing traumatic disorder. It was happening live every day. You couldn't get away from it because of all the access that we have. We're not in an information age. We are in an access revolution.
Wow.
There's so much storage of information. There's so many ways to have access to us, and it's all unedited.
That's exactly right.
That's where you get the fatigue.
If there's ever been a fatigue of communication over anything, it would be over the coronavirus. Would you agree with that?
Well, coronavirus, or you have.
I can't imagine anything in history that has had more coverage than this virus.
Well, 9/11 was.
Well, that was true. 9/11 was,
and the impeachment trial.
Yeah,
and all these spurious conspiracies, and it's never ending. When we went to 24-hour news, you had to either
is that when it happened? Do you think?
Yeah, whenever you had
so we can blame CNN for.
It went to 24-hour news, but we also had access. We had all kinds of other things coming on. We had internet. We had other ways of getting to us, and us getting to it. And we became, when we got more access, they didn't give us the tool of discrimination.
That isn't part of it, is it?
You know, you'll remember this. I have a brain that gets really easily overstimulated. I think that's one reason I'm an unusual woman. I don't like to shop. I go into a store and it's like, all this stuff is coming at me. I like to know what I want. I go in, if I'm after a pair of shoes, I go straight for the shoes. I buy the shoes and I'm out.
Yeah.
And so I remember when CNN, when the 24-hour news started, I remember the ticker tape at the bottom. I told Robert, I said, this is like the ADD channel. I cannot watch this. I don't know if I'm supposed to be reading here or looking at the people talk. And of course, I don't watch the news at all anymore. Not at all. And it's funny because I was with two girls today. I went for a little walk and they were all very concerned about what's going on. And will they be forced to vaccinate? Won't they? Are we going to lose our freedom and all that? And it's exactly what you were talking about because there's so much information available. And I always say, well, I don't want to be ignorant, but I told them this today.
That's one of the temptations, staying abreast.
Yes.
is one of the ways that they get you.
Yes.
Is because I used to pride myself on
knowing everything
as much as I could. If there was a camel who died in Swaziland,
I knew about it.
I could talk eloquently
about it.
And now I've chosen to be very discriminatory on what information.
So how do we decide what information to embrace and what information to avoid?
So this is the information glut. The information glut is when your senses are overloaded with information that you start to fail to discriminate between truth and trivia from what you need to know and what you might be better off not knowing.
Right.
So define trivia.
Yeah. I think trivia, and I think the criteria by which we should judge what we should be aware of, informed of, and if it advances you, if it inspires you, if it aids you in some way, that's what you need to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just being informed for information's sake is a very dangerous place to be. There are things that are not going to advance you. Let's take some of the horrible things that are going on with death, the police, and the population. Explain to me how you knowing and watching that trial is going to benefit you and your family.
I haven't watched it. I haven't had any interest in it.
So ignorance is bliss, in a sense.
Yes.
Because unless it really, I mean, we already know discrimination exists. We know there needs to be police reform. We
absolutely,
know that
100%.
People can act inhumanely towards other people.
Awful.
How many times do we have to be reminded of that?
Yeah.
So where you really get it.
Mm-hmm.
If you really get it, you can turn it off.
Right.
Now, people will judge you for it. Oh, you're biased, you're prejudiced, you're not interested in being informed, you're not keeping abreast, you're racist.
Yeah.
You're liberal, you're conservative. Yeah, and that's how you get seduced into staying abreast.
Mm-hmm.
Staying abreast is not a good criteria.
No, exactly.
So it sounds like at one point in your life, you were addicted to being informed.
I actually interviewed to be I had a television show and a radio show, but I actually interviewed to be a news commentator. A big station.
Oh, you got to know everything about everything.
And so I was really addicted.
So if addictions, usually you have to break through addictions, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Well, a better word for addiction, you know, I never like addiction. I like the word dependency.
Yeah, dependency.
And so we get dependent. Mm-hmm. We think that we need to know when you better not know. I mean, there's so many things.
Better not to know. Yeah.
Better not to know. I mean, for instance, if the neighbor comes over to my house and says, can you give me your word you won't say anything? I say, no, don't tell me anything unless you want me to tell all the neighbors. Well, then I won't tell you. I said, good. That's good. I don't need to know everything. So if you tell me that the neighbor's molesting your child and you swore me to secrecy, what am I going to do with that? I'm going to stay awake all night long.
Right.
I'd be better off not knowing. But the point is, people will come to you and just take you into confidence and say, I just want to share a few things with you. And
so
they really are dumping. They're unloading.
So as a family marriage counselor, isn't that a bit of a challenge? Do you have to tell everybody everything?
Well, if I get paid, I'll keep your confidence. But for recreational sake,
exactly.
I don't keep secrets. Don't tell me anything you want for recreational to keep secrets.
Well, you know,
I'm just having fun. Yeah,
me think of any, you know, we're talking about serious issues like, you know, don't follow too much in certain, you know, it doesn't matter if you go back to the blowing up of the space shuttle or 9/11 or whatever. Do not be completely fixated on that stuff because it doesn't do you any good in your life in the way, like I remember as a young mother, that would make me anxiety. You know, so filled with anxiety that I would be a horrible mother because I'd be like, hold on just a minute, you know, I got to hear this. Or more insidious wouldn't be the things I said, but maybe the things I internalized and how it would come out in my actions towards my kids. So I think maybe it's part of getting older and wiser, but here's something that's a little less serious, but is it really? Like, what about people's fixation with Facebook and They got to post every time they get on an airplane. I'm going skiing. I'm going here. It's my birthday. Look at these beautiful flowers my husband gave me. Look at how great. Look at how many grandchildren I have. Look at how pretty my daughter is. Look at, I don't care what it is. I'm not trying to put anybody down. But can't we get wrapped up in that where you just think, and then I think that becomes compulsive, like behavior where, you know, people said, women, I guess I took a poll recently, and if a woman forgets her, you ask a woman, would you rather forget or lose your handbag or your cell phone? Which do you think it is?
The handbag. Yeah.
Right?
It's easier to replace.
Well, like, you can control. You talk about the use of media.
Yes.
You can control a population if you do one of two things. You either tap into envy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tap into
there you
envy,
go.
Envy. They want to keep up with the Joneses. They want to know what's the latest and greatest fad. They want to be in on the newest thing. So you tap into envy or you tap into fear.
Mm.
If you cause people to fear, they'll listen. If you tap into envy, they'll pay attention.
That is really true. And, you know, I apologize, and this isn't meant to, I'm not calling out any one person, but I know I recently said something about this to somebody. They said, no, I just use social media because my family lives all over the country and they can see what we're doing. No, I'm not putting you down for that. I'm just talking about people that don't use it for that. You know, we use it for ministry. But I don't know. I it's all personal. But I remember when Facebook started getting popular, I remember reading about, I was appalled the first time a woman posted on that. My son just, no, excuse me, it was like my dad just died, and I'm just grieving so and all that. And I remember now everybody does. Everybody does. This is how you learn about people dying. But I remember at that time, this is more than 5 years ago, I didn't even know this woman. I private messaged her, and I said, oh, my gosh. I said, I just feel like you need to be sharing this with somebody that you trust and know. Do you have a pastor? Do you have a counselor? Do you have somebody, a safe to talk to you? Because this is really tragic. I'm so sorry. And that was the end of it, and that was the first time. And then ever since then, it's like, my dog died, my cat died, my brother died, my mom died, my dad died. I'm like, whoa, wow. Honestly, I would never put that on social media. I don't think ever. I mean, maybe I would end up posting details about a memorial service. I don't know.
Well, I just would never do that. The issue is not what's posted.
What is it?
The issue is, how seductive is the posting to us?
Yes.
How interested, how necessary, you know. So I've read many books on boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all the
That's
books,
really what we're talking about, isn't it?
That's
we
right.
Are.
And all the books are written are wrong. Every book I've ever written about boundaries are written wrong. Because what they typically say is you need to put a boundary between you and that which is dangerous, that which is maybe obsessive, that which is harmful.
Okay.
Put a boundary between you and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way you put boundaries. You must understand what makes you susceptible to things or to people. So the manipulator is not, let me digress for a moment. So a publishing company had heard about some of my work and contacted me.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we have one of our very prolific authors who's writing his ninth book for us, and he's stuck, and we'd like you to help him. I said, oh, what's his working title? He said, Dealing with Difficult People. And I said, oh, it's very good. It's very good that you're calling me, because he's writing a book about nothing. They said, well, writing a book about dealing with difficult people.
I think you're really happy to hear that.
Yeah, how could that be?
Do you realize how much money we've got invested in this book already?
I know, exactly. I said, because there aren't any difficult people. There are not any difficult people. We make people difficult. The seductress is only a seducer because we're seductible.
Mm-hmm.
The manipulator is only manipulated because we're manipulable.
Yeah.
You stop the inside game, and you let the seductress and the manipulator go, and you won't even see them. You won't even hear them. You put the boundary between you and what makes you vulnerable to somebody else. You put the boundary between you and what makes you susceptible to knowing what's on the news and getting ahead and staying abreast and getting all this information, making that a priority over feeding your soul.
That's right. And yes.
So tell me your journey as far as how you, because I use the word breakthrough, and that's really not the right word, but how did you come to the realization that you had this issue, and then how did you deal with it?
Well, it started by reading the paper, and I would read the local paper, and it would tell me about all the burglaries.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And all the thefts and all the horrible
and all the obituaries. And...
Well, it was just the burglaries that got me.
Ah.
And then I started developing an obsession. And that was, I would lock each one of the doors and the windows at night when I went to bed. And that's not an obsession.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'd go back and check them three times before I went to bed. And if I didn't do my routine, I couldn't sleep.
Interesting.
And I realized that I was in an obsession, and I realized that there was a trapped feeling. In every obsession, there's a trapped feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we don't go to the trapped feeling. What we do is we try to get it or work it out, whatever. And what it winds up is a thought. It's a feeling that's trapped, and it winds up as a thought. I got to check the doors. I got to check this. I can't go over bridges. I'm afraid of spiders. We got all these phobias. And so I developed a phobia. And it came, I did the forensics, and I figured out, where's this coming from? And I realized it was the news. I'm reading about burglaries,
of course.
And so therefore, I had a patient the other day, and she wasn't sleeping. She doesn't sleep. She said, I can't sleep. I'm insomnia. And I said, well, what's going on in your life? And she told me all these horrific things. I said, well, you don't have a sleeping problem. What you do is you need more time to think and process all this, and you're wasting your time sleeping when you have so much to think about.
So in other words, don't go to sleep, stay up all night.
You might just write it down so you can pick it up tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
There you go.
You don't need to stay up all night.
Right.
You're probably not at your best at 3 o'clock in the morning anyway.
I've learned that trick. If I'm having trouble sleeping and there's a lot going through my mind, I'll get up and I'll write the things down, and then I can go to sleep.
Okay. You're afraid you might forget.
So here's what you do. If you have trouble sleeping, if anybody's having trouble sleeping, what you want to do is you want to get a journal, and you want to pay attention. Always pay attention to what keeps you awake. Write down the major characters, the major theme, the conflict, and the tide of the past.
Oh, the tide of the past.
Oh, yeah.
So write those things down, and then you'll have a journal which you can turn to, and you say, okay, every night it seems to be the same characters and the same tide of the past.
Or not.
That's how I got this fear and recognizing information can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. If you don't discriminate, if you don't monitor, if you don't filter.
So is that all it took then? You were able to just fold your newspapers up and for that you're going, I'm done.
Until I discovered CNN. Until I discovered internet news.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then you had to manage that.
So you find yourself being drawn back into this addiction or this...
I like being informed. I like being knowledgeable.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's
I totally understand
and
that.
That's the seduction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not knowledge when it's graffiti. It's not knowledge when it's gossip.
No.
It's not knowledge when it's unedited news.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? And so we need to have discriminating powers, and we're not taught that.
Mm. No.
So where do we learn those powers to discriminate what to focus
well,
on
once, on. Once again, just to review, I think anything that doesn't edify you, build you up, advance your life, I think is unnecessary. It may not be evil, it may not be illegal, but it's not fulfilling your life. And therefore, it has to be discriminated. See, one of the unfortunate things in our development is that we got the idea that certain things like abandonment, that should never be a tool in your tool chest. You should never abandon, and you should never reject. And quite frankly, you need those tools in your toolbox because there are people, there's information, and their situation you should reject and you should abandon.
Yes.
And we don't have the tools anymore. Because it's not polite.
It's not polite.
Right.
They're not ones that are socially accepted.
Well, and
because we've been taught you never do those.
That's right. And if they're taking the time to produce the news, shouldn't you watch it? There's a lot of money going into that. Shouldn't you be informed if they produce these beautiful magazines?
Wow. With that being said, shouldn't you read every book that's published?
Exactly.
Think about all of the
the effort that went into writing it.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
how do you stay informed today? Do you still watch CNN, Fox News? Do you still read the newspaper? Do you just blow through all of that really quickly and just glance over it? How do you limit yourself today?
So I'm exposed, but I'm not drunk. So the Bible says be filled with Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I get my fill with information, but I'm not drunk with information.
Mm-hmm.
I only need enough to be able to discriminate whether this is going to help me or not.
Right.
And once I realize, I know about the camel, but it's
okay. Camel died.
Camel died. I think that's all I need to go. I don't need to know why it died.
Don't you need to know the camel's name?
I don't even know the camel name. But you know what I mean. You get exposed, but you don't get drunk with information.
Of course. I like that.
Yeah.
I like
there's
it.
A filter. There's a stop,
and then that will help us with communication fatigue.
It will help you because the fatigue is on us. We can blame the media, but it's on us. We didn't put a boundary. There's something enticing about looking in the windows. What do they call that when you're
not street shopping, window shopping.
Window shopping. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And when there's something that's very seductive, inducing to looking and knowing what's going on in other people's lives and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, the criteria is it aiding you? Is it helping you? Is it building you up? If it's not, stop.
I think
that's pretty simple,
yeah,
right
that's
there.
That's really simple, and that's kind of you just said it all. I stopped early on in Facebook because I knew it wasn't helping me. It wasn't helping me reach my goals, reach what I feel is my God-given purpose here on earth. And in fact, it was hindering me. Like the only time I would get hurt feelings or something is like, oh gosh, that person didn't invite me.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. And so finally, I thought I'm not even gonna look at that. What's wrong with me?
So the older I get, the bigger my list gets of I don't particularly care.
Don't need this.
I don't need this. I don't care about
this. That is the good thing about getting old.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we're all, you know, we're not, none of us are.
Oh, you know, we're old. It's really,
yeah.
It's you know, wisdom, as they say, formally is knowledge plus experience makes you wise.
Experience, absolutely.
Experience makes you wise.
Well, John, we want to thank you for being our guest today.
And do you have any questions on here? Can we read?
No, I can't read the questions because the lighting is such where I can't see it.
Thanks for letting
me. But,
there you go. You're welcome.
Yeah, but so we're just going to keep this information to you so you don't have to get too much information.
Do you get calls?
We get calls.
People
will type in some questions on Facebook.
But
tonight we're not going to do that.
Okay.
But also, let me tell you what they do. They come. You can write in the questions after you're writing them right now, and then we will answer you after the call. And if it's something that you want to know specifically from John, I'll ask him. We'll ask him.
Yeah.
I'll
come back in the gym. We can take calls.
That
there we go.
Really
I used
nice.
To get 1,000 calls an hour on the radio show.
That's a lot.
Wow. And they'd screen down to 24, and
that's
24 they'd put 8 on.
We'd love to do that. We don't have the technology, you know what I mean?
We're just
mom and pop here.
Yeah.
We started this
conference
9 years ago.
And you saw, in spite of my best efforts, how bad I did with the lighting.
Oh, no, but you know what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's content, and that's what I've been told all along. It's all about content, and we have great content. Thank you, John. I really, really appreciate
it. We sure
it.
Do.
And
people need to hear this. You know,
yeah.
They do, because I think there's a lot of people, I know there's a lot of people running around out there, and they're very troubled with what they're reading and what they're seeing in the media. And, you know, you just need to stop. You just need to stop. You only need to know what you need to know. And then you just got to put a lid on it, and you got to look at what your purpose here is on this earth, and you got to focus on that. You got to focus on God and the goodness of God, and, you know, not be a Pollyanna, but just know just enough and not too much, right?
Discriminating power.
I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the things we do here with the Robert Shula Ministries is everything we have, as you'll notice, is free. We give it all away. And we do that because we have people who continue to support this ministry. And we can't do it without your support and without the support of those who continue to trust God and believe in his providence in their lives. And so the first thing we like to do is thank all of you who make it possible for us to interview people like John and to be here every 15th of every month, 6 p.m. Pacific time for the call. And so we want to thank you. But at the same time, we also want to let you know that you can donate to this ministry so that we continue to do that. And in order to do that, there's several ways you can do it. First of all, you can mail in your contributions to 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California. That's 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. That's one way you can support this ministry, by simply mailing in your contributions. And we also have on our website at drshuler.org a clear way for you to be able to donate. There's a you can give button. You hit that button and you follow the prompts. Another way is to Venmo. I know that's becoming very popular for a lot of people. And the Venmo account is Robert Shuler Ministries. Make sure it says Robert Shuler Ministries, because otherwise you may be giving it to another Robert Shuler. So that is Venmo. So those are the different ways you can give. If you want to contact Donna or I, our email addresses are very easy. It's robert@shulerministries.org, and Donna would be
Donna@shulerministries.org.
So we answer
all of our own mail. So just know that if you send us something, a prayer request or a question of any kind, then it's Robert or myself. We don't have a staff, and
if you want to share something confidential,
yes,
it's confidential between us.
Yes, absolutely.
To John, not to me.
No,
yeah.
Not to John. No, but we can probably make that happen, because you'd be a lot better off if John was reading it than us, actually. He could probably help you.
And we're a church. We're a 501c3. We're a church.
Church.
And your donations are tax deductible, so you have to know that.
So you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Robert Shuler Ministries. If you search Robert Shuler Ministries in your YouTube channel, you'll see a lot of our stuff come up. If you're on our website at drshuler.org and you hit the videos bar across the top, there will be tons of videos that you'll be able to see. The same on YouTube. So we just want you to know that we're here to be able to assist in any way we possibly can. We love you. We care about you. We pray for you regularly, and if you have any specific requests for prayer, let us know, and we'll continue to pray for you.
We will. We will. And we'll be here next month on the 15th at 6 p.m. And remember that this will be on podcast. So our podcast is robertshulerministries.podomatic.com, but you don't need to remember all that. All you have to do is Google in Robert Shuler podcast, and it will come up, because we've had a podcast for a lot. And our podcast is a pretty page, and you'll see all the different topics. 'Cause
Pretty is important.
No,
pretty.
It's a very pretty page. It's very colorful.
Pretty information.
It's got nice, well, it's got good information, but it's got good graphics in that you can see just by the topic that you want to click on and say, oh, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in family values. Or I'm interested in, you know, how to overcome anxiety. Or I'm interested in resiliency. We've had some amazing guests, and this was one of our favorites.
Mm. So, again, really thank you, John. Obviously, that's all the voice.
Oh, yeah,
she
yeah,
does,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't, actually. So if it's the 15th, we're on here, Facebook Live, and we're also on our conference call. We want to thank you for joining us, and God loves you, so do we. And remember, he's blessing you always. And through all things.
And forever. God bless you, everybody. Have a great time. We'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.